This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we turn our attention back to the Dallas Cowboys and talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
We're doing very well indeed. So I know there's a whole lot of different stats that come out after these games, but I like it when there's stats that kind of reinforce what I feel like I saw, you know?
Uh-huh.
And one of them was Dallas had 6 sacks. They've had 12 games since the start of 2021 with at least 5 sacks. And I thought that was a really interesting stat because it replicates what I feel like I've been saying and just really hammers home how across the board good the pressure can be from this team.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, we saw it last year, right?
Yes.
And we saw takeaways, but we didn't see in the big game stopping the run. And for, what, 3 quarters or so, they stopped the run, too. So not only did they get the pressure, not only did they get the takeaways, but for 3 quarters, they did a much better job on the road against a playoff team from last year, sure, stopping the run. And I think that's what's got to continue. I don't know that I thought in the first game of the year that they were going to get 6 sacks, but I knew they were going to get some pressure. And for some reason, Cleveland didn't do a very good job of adjusting, just leaving him sitting in the pocket. And I don't know how quickly he was seeing things, because it didn't seem very. He looked like a quarterback that hadn't played in more than almost a year. I thought that was encouraging. It wasn't all Micah. Now Micah kind of contributed to some of the other people's sacks by what he was doing and the concentration they were giving him, but it was varied, right? And got a lot of other people that now I'm sure when the Saints are looking at tape for this game, they're sitting there going, oh, we got to worry about that. Well, but I got to worry about, oh, I got to worry about that too. So I think that's a good thing going forward.
Mickey, how much deeper is Mike Zimmer's playbook than what we saw in Cleveland, you think?
Well, I'm sure, he hasn't emptied it, but I'm sure it varies team to team, whoever you're playing, right?
Yeah.
But I think you saw kind of the structure of what they were thinking. When you go a run-heavy formation, we got 3 linebackers out there, and one of them's Leofau. When you go nickel, we got 2 linebackers out there most of the time, and it's overshown. And so, getting away from, he's not a safety, right? He's not a 215-pound, 220-pound safety out there. Now, he runs like one. Actually, he runs like a cornerback, but he's 235. He put on weight while he was rehabbing, and the fact that he played like that when he hadn't played a game since the end of the 2022 season in college, I think it was rather remarkable. And I think there's even more, probably, Corey, you're right, that they can do with him in different situations, and I'm sure they didn't empty the book on where they can line up Parsons, too.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of different looks that they can continue to roll in, and a lot of different areas to pressure from. That's
and
exciting.
I'm good with that pressure, but I want to see consistently doing a better job against the run against the better teams.
Can we ask about consistently doing a better job at dropping the penalties? Because I know that the officiating crew on Sunday did seem very penalty happy.
I think they were getting paid per flag.
It did feel like that.
Broadus predicted that in the pregame show, by the way.
And so I was prepared for that, but still in a dominating performance, 11 flags for 85 yards, that feels like that is never going to be acceptable.
Well, except the other team had 11 penalties also, right?
They did.
Yeah.
But we're to
I'm
the
not
point
saying
right,
it's
where
great
I don't care.
That it evens out,
yeah,
right?
But yeah,
yeah, you want to be better than that. I was trying to remember some of the penalties. Look, the delay of game penalty was BS. You go back and look and see how long the umpire stayed over the ball before he allowed him to snap on that field goal. He was there till 4 seconds. And they said, well, they were substituting. No, they weren't substituting. They only had 10 people on the field. You don't get a break bringing on a guy late. And he held the game up for that guy to come in and get set. That's BS. So there was one right there. There was another holding call that both guys were holding. And C.J. Goodwin was the one that got thrown down, and he got called for holding. So there was a couple that I could say, I don't know about that. So, but they got to work on it. I know it's easy to say, okay, there's the total, but look at what was inside the total.
Okay. I got what you're saying.
How much are you keeping an eye on the weather in New Orleans right now?
Good question.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I see what it is. I didn't kind of factor it into the Saints being able to get out of there.
Tropical Storm Francine.
Yeah, because usually they show up. Like, how often? You travel the day before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and usually that would be the kind of situation. I wonder if
they would have to vacate early.
Yeah, if they would bounce out a little earlier than usual.
Yeah, and I don't know that. I mean, say they had to go on Friday. When's it supposed to? It's supposed to start hitting tonight or tomorrow?
I thought it was today.
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is they got an indoor practice facility.
Yeah,
they
don't
have to vacate. But I saw how much rain they were expecting. So there's going to be some flooding in New Orleans just because of how, sea level that town is. And that could get in the way of them practicing. But yeah, I could see them having to take off early, possibly. That's a good thing to keep an eye on. You guys are ahead of me on that one.
All over it.
I know.
If it's about weather, Corey's in.
Yeah, I've always been a big. I've always said if I can go outside and look up and tell you if it's going to rain or not.
There we go.
What?
Don't worry about that, Kevin. As far as what you saw from, have you watched Derek Carr yet? Have you gotten in on what he?
No,
did?
No, I have not.
Okay.
But, I mean, he was pretty accurate, right? Was
yes.
19 of 23, and it was something like that.
It was 19 of 24, I believe.
24.
And that was the best percentage he'd ever had with the Saints.
Okay.
And 200 yards, right? 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know how much of that is, well, it's the Panthers and he's feeling really good in this system.
Yeah, but I mean we've seen him play quite a bit over the years, so I don't know that all of a sudden he got better, right? I think he is what he is, and he can hurt you. It's, you know, you don't sit there and take anything for granted. But again, if you put pressure on a quarterback, that makes the difference. You know, that makes the difference on how well you can cover receivers, too. Because receivers, they're going to get open.
Yeah.
But if the quarterback doesn't have time to get it to them, then you've covered them. You know, you can feel pretty good about it. I think the key thing in all this is continuing to put pressure on quarterbacks from different angles, from different ways, from different people, and you can always be in a game. That should never change. There should be no variable there if you can continue to put that kind of pressure on people. And there were times they were triple teaming Parsons.
Yeah.
They would double him, and then he'd get away, and somebody else would try to pick him up. I mean, that's kind of how he got the sack, right? He got doubled, and he kind of went inside and beat that guy and got the sack. So I think that's a key element that has to be a staple for this team.
You know, and you're just bringing up that's something that shouldn't waver. And I think I'm finally to that point in terms of that level of pressure is inherently going to create turnovers, and Dallas had a plus 10 or better turnover differential in the last 3 seasons. So I think I finally accepted that turnovers don't have to be like some people will call it a fluky stat from week to week, but because of the pressure, don't you feel like maybe not count on the turnovers, but you get that they're more likely?
I would like, you know, somebody to come up with a percentage, but, you know, coaches always say, you know, turnover start in the pocket, either pressure for an interception or sack fumbles. And that's where majority of the pressures, are instigated. Now, we saw in games, you punch a ball out, right, when a guy's running or somebody gets careless. But I would think predominantly it's in the pocket, and it's caused by the quarterback uncomfortable trying to get rid of the ball and not making a good decision or getting hit and losing the ball. And so, yeah, I think the turnover certainly could continue at the rate they were at just from the pressure you put on quarterbacks. And think about it. Everybody's worried. They lost Dorrance Armstrong. They lost Dante Fowler Jr. Well, they got some young guys that are, stepping up.
Sure.
And I think everybody kind of...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I don't know. Kind of wave their, their heads or eyes or whatever when Jerry would say, well, we had young guys last year that didn't get a chance to play enough, and now they're playing. And it was like, oh, okay, right? But he was right. Some of those young guys needed to be on the field last year on defense that really didn't get on there. And that was one of the things I was somewhat, worried, skeptical about when you start bringing in 30-some-year-old defensive linemen. I didn't want to see those guys, take snaps away from a Marshawn Nealon, a Chauncey Golston, even Mozzie, get those guys out there. That's your bread and butter. If these guys can play and they were no more than second, third, fourth, fifth round draft choices, that's how you manage your salary cap.
I know he's a super tough human being, but am I to believe that Jake Ferguson might actually play this week?
Well, I think we'll get a better idea of, maybe what he's able to do today. And it may be one of those things that he doesn't do much and you just try to get him to Sunday. I'm sure that he will give it his all to be able to go on Sunday. But when Mike says he's with the return to play rehab group,
Yeah. That
means you're probably not practicing.
Yeah.
You're just doing rehab with the idea that, well, maybe I can get out there, and they just kind of judge on how much he's able to do. So I think it's been termed a sprained medial collateral and a bone bruise, which is usually caused by an hyperextension. So we need a percentage of how much is it at MCL and how much is it the bone bruise.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the bone bruise you can recover from. If the MCL is minor, then, you might be able to, kind of wrap it up, put a brace on it and play. But if it's, even a medium sprain, it's usually 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And when you don't have your lateral movement, especially for a tight end, that's a really tough thing to try to play through. So there's some things you can play through that, okay, it hurts, but there's other things that don't allow you to play through. And I think that has yet to be determined on, at least for our sake at this point.
And Mickey, you were right. It was 19 of 23. My apologies. You're all over that.
Oh, well, I figured I just shot it off. 24, I'd accept that. I was close.
Well, I saw 24.
The Saints say it was 23.
Interesting. All right.
We'll talk with you again tomorrow, Mick. Thank you very much.
All right, sounds good. You guys have a good day.
There you go, Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Yeah, the Saints are like, it was 23.
I saw 24.
That's what I thought, too. All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or does he try to eat rice cakes over the microphone during an interview? Let us know. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We have the Mike McCarthy presser coming up. It's scheduled at 11:30. They sent out another release this morning saying it's still scheduled at 11:30. So let's see. Let's all begin the countdown together and if he shows up.
Nobody gets as offended about his timing more than you.
Because it
I'm not saying I don't get offended. I'm just saying, but you get the most offended by it.
Because it screws up the show. If you showed up to the ball game and you're like, man, I hustled to be here. First pitch at 7:05. And they're like, yeah, you know what? Let's do it at 7:24. Like, that would probably annoy you as well. And you're like, I'm busting my ass to get
here. Well, now I got a little more time to go get something at the stand. I go get a hot dog and a beer, and I'm okay, you know?
All right. Well, way to bright side it. I like that. All right. So it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot, 877-881-1053. Do your friends have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Let us know. And we're going to start with this. This is cut number 13. I thought this was a very human moment, and I enjoyed it. But Dan Hurley went to the White House and was like, I'm just going to talk like regular folks do.
Oh, man, I've been to the White House before. It is scary as Stick to the script. All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is Dan Hurley?
No.
Okay, I thought that was tremendous.
He showed he was human.
He did.
Like, I mean, I think that's one of the most important parts in like endearing yourself to any audience is having that one piece of vulnerability that allows them to go, oh, yeah. Especially when they think highly of you in a certain way. You want to, and I'm not trying to be like political right now, but when a president in our past has shown that they're just like a regular dude.
Yeah, people like that.
In addition to also being a president that runs our country, you're like, oh yeah. That's pretty, like, he is a regular dude that just happens to be in that position. And think about it, whenever you, let's say you have a boss that is that's very high up in the organization, and he just comes up to you and starts shooting the S with you just like you're a regular, you feel like you have a better connection with that person.
Sure.
So I do not have a problem with that, but it is the White House. So when you're at the White House, do you have to act differently than you do? Like, I would tell my kids, don't touch anything.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
I'm not walking around touching everything. Rick Carlisle is like, you know what? I'm going to play the piano. And I probably am not going to do that. Even if I knew how to play the piano like Rick Carlisle.
What do you think is the most likely reason you get invited to the White House?
Excellence in fathering.
Okay.
Yeah, like dad of the year award.
I like that. That's delightful.
That one year I was a good dad, you know?
From the
Look, man, my kids might have different thoughts.
From the 214, my buddy's an idiot because he bet eating a poop sandwich on a Macho Man quote and won't pay up. All right.
What?
I agree with you. If you make a bet
on a quote?
Yeah, live up to it. But why also the poop sandwich? What was on the line? It wasn't one of those bets where you're just like, I'll do this, and there's nothing else for you to gain.
And whose poop?
Does that...
What kind?
How much does that matter to you?
I don't want to eat human poop. I'm just being very honest about that. That feels weird. But I also don't want to
You rather eat dog poop than your own poop?
I don't know. I'm not... Listen, you know what? Honestly, no. Because if it deals with our pets, I don't want to eat our pets or eat anything that comes from our pets. So I guess I got to go with like something I would typically, like a cow. That sounds gross. I don't want to eat poop. There you go. I've decided. I'm not doing it.
Well, there's
not on the bet list, guys.
There's an easy way to accomplish that. Don't make that bet or, you know,
I want to know what the quote was.
Situation.
What do you know all the Nacho Man's.
The cream of the crop.
Yeah. That's the one?
That would be my guess.
Okay. Snap into a Slim Jim. What about that one?
Man, that was a good one.
He created that, didn't he?
I don't know.
He made the Slim Jim?
I would love.
That's awesome.
For his style to be a big thing and come back and everybody.
The tassels and everything.
Yeah. And
the big hats.
And the tank tops and the big old, like, Patrick Mahomes ski mask or whatever.
I'll bring it back.
Guys,
sorry, yeah, y'all are eating lunch.
Since you brought up the Slim Jim, I'll admit I was an idiot back in the day when I started working at a car wash. The car doors got locked and the keys were inside, and they said, "Don't worry, we'll get the Slim Jim to get it open." I swear to you, I thought they were going to get a giant meat stick product and figure out a way to open up that car. I stayed for the rest of that because, and then when they just brought out the tool, I was like, oh, that's really disappointing. But I didn't dare tell anyone at the car wash that I thought it was going to be like, snap into it. And they were going to figure out a way. I couldn't figure out how they were going to do it. It was really disappointing after that. All right.
What would be the best meat product to use to get a car open?
Ribs?
Somebody who doesn't know good how to option. Do jerky properly, all because right. It'll be so hard that you can just smash the window in.
All right. That's an option, too. Okay. Yeah. Text in. Let me know.
Here's Jared.
Jared has a whole bag of jerky in our studio groceries right now.
for the game stuff today. All right.
He's a snacker.
Do the world breakdancing rankers, are they idiots? You know who the number one female is in the world?
Ray Gunn.
It is Ray Gunn.
Told you.
Now, that is confusing to people who are like, hold on, I saw the Olympics and she got 0 points and she was not good. So here's how the rankings go. It's for the last 12 months, your top four performances in the last 12 months, but they don't count the Olympic qualifiers or the Olympics themselves. And there's no events scheduled between December of 2023 and the Olympics. So basically, she was the best in October and November of 2023. And that currently has her number one in the world, even though we saw that she is not good at breakdancing.
How do we take this away from her? Do we have to, what competition is next that we can have somebody, anybody from So You Think You Can Dance, just go show up and do this?
That's a great question. And I don't know, from the 214, Kevin, bro, what the heck? I'm trying to be honest with you. I could have lied and said, and I took the Slim Jim and opened the car. I could have lied. That's not what happened. I thought that was what was going to happen. And this is a fair point from the 817. When the hell did breakdancing get so organized?
Yeah.
They probably had to when they got admitted to the Olympics. They're like, here's our rating scale and this and that. And it's not just somebody throwing part of a cardboard box down on the ground on a sidewalk and just breaking it out.
That's
what I've
be.
Always wanted to hear. Wanted to see.
But they made it so organized, but then they proceed to say that the Olympics are basically non-canon by saying that your placements in the Olympics don't matter in our rankings.
And then the next Olympics is like, we're not even doing breakdancing, so don't worry about it.
So what? I don't understand this at all. It's so confusing.
I just want to win at breakdancing.
Who do you think would be the best breakdancer at this station right here and now?
Alec.
Is he too Is he too muscular?
Nah.
Get it going?
So, Alec, here's
the thing. You got to be lean and flexible.
I do feel like because of your height that you will be able to spin on your head better. I don't know why I feel that way, but I just feel like you're like me spinning on my head, too long. It's going to be too much to, there's too much length and height to go with there.
Yeah, there's a lot of length going on there and not a lot going on back here. So, yeah.
So that's, I'm going to go with him first.
Okay.
Second, Woolchuck.
Huh. See, I would have thought Chiafalo would have been more likely.
Third, Broadus. After a Rangers parade.
Uh-huh. That's fair. So you're saying Drunk Broadus.
Drunk Broadus.
Rockets.
Actually
up
might
the
be one. Yeah, he might
chart.
Be one.
Drunk Broadus might be a superhero for all we know.
You might that be right about that. It was my favorite superhero as I was driving home listening that day. Okay. It was like that. I was stuck in traffic because, hey, it's parade. And it was absolutely amazing.
Thank you for the insight on that, Corey. I appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome.
Is Adrian Peterson, is he an idiot? Because he's had to turn over numerous assets to pay a debt that is estimated at more than $12 million.
Oh, no. So
the issue started in 2016 when he took out a loan for $5.2 million. Since then, that's grown with interest and whatnot to $8.3 million. You think of Adrian Peterson as a great player who probably made a good amount of money. Why can't he pay this?
Because people spend money. And a lot of players, a lot of athletes don't know what to do with their money or don't, you know, invest it appropriately whenever they have the opportunity because they're like, hey, man, this money's going to live forever. You know, that's not, and quite honestly, not all NFL money is long money. I mean, I always think about this, too, whenever I look at, like, the Emmitt Smiths and the Troy Aikmans and those guys, and then even go further back with Roger Staubach, and you're talking about Dak's contract right now. And you, who was it you asked? Was it you this earlier this week? You're like, do you feel like you played in the wrong era because of the money that they're that Dak
oh,
just
yeah,
made?
Oh, yeah, no, I asked Richard Sherman if he wished he would have been a quarterback.
Yeah, and so whenever I often wonder, those guys get done with their careers, they still have a lot of money. But because of inflation and all of that, you know, things change. So is the money the same? And it's not.
Now, I was taking a quick step back. I'm intrigued by both of these texts. First, somebody texted in and said CY would be the best break dancer.
Yeah.
But then they changed it to CA. So Chris Arnold would be the best break dancer.
I've seen Chris Arnold.
He's got a story about that, right?
He probably has a break dancing story. He probably absolutely He's probably got lots of stories about his breakdancing capabilities. Or having been, he was probably in one of those really cool breakdancing moments where he got to see the best breakdancers.
Okay.
And it was at his party at his house.
Two things I've always wanted to see in life. I've wanted to see a breakdancing battle on the sidewalk. And I've also wanted to be part of the circle at some sort of organized dance function where two people have a dance off.
You also wanted to be part of a flash mob where you, and that's where people walk around and just flash everybody as a group.
No, that is not how that goes.
I'm sorry. Can you please explain that to me?
No, isn't a flash mob is like people plan ahead and all of a sudden you're like at the mall or whatever 15 years ago and all of a sudden everyone has a choreographed dance routine. You're like, what the hell's happening?
And you've always wanted to be at a wedding where somebody professed their love.
True.
I really wanted to do that at your wedding. But
I would have supported that.
I thought that Jess would have killed me.
Think about how many weddings you go to. You're going to remember that one where somebody busts through the door and is like, hey, you can't do this. I still love you.
Kevin.
I was on a bus where we all sang Tiny Dancer, though.
That is pretty fun.
Like an Almost Famous. That was super cool.
If I had done that at your wedding, if I had started banging on the door, because I got locked out, it was my fault. But if I started banging on the door and everything, would you have been okay with that bid if I'd have been
for
like,
sure.
Kevin, no, you can't do this.
And let's all be honest. There's one or two names cross through your mind that you hope it could be. No, I'm just kidding.
Jennifer Aniston. I'm kidding.
All right. Does the
Mrs. Robinson.
That was not part of the, never mind. Mrs. Never Mel. Mind. Does the Mexican men's national soccer team, are they idiots? Because they had a draw with Canada at AT&T Stadium, and much like the Cowboys' attendance at training camp, it is dwindling.
Oh, no.
There was only 32,623 fans at AT&T Stadium last night. I get it. That's a lot. But when they first started playing there, Mexico was averaging 67,000 fans over the span of 14 games. So it's already dropped in half, and it's 8,000 lower than the worst attendance ever for the Mexican national team at AT&T.
Are the tickets too expensive? What do you think the reason is behind
this? Cheapest ticket, $30.
That's pretty damn good right there for that game.
30 minutes before kickoff, if you're like, I want to go.
I have no clue how to explain that. Other than maybe there's some apathy towards that, too.
I mean, then my question will become, is the Mexican men's national soccer team become the Cowboys?
Yes. I'll confirm that one for you.
What time is it right now? Can you just help me out with that real quick?
11:30, 5:30.
Mike McCarthy there?
Nope.
Hey, what do you know? All right, let's go to Poor Sport Gamblers. Auburn's Peyton Thorne, who, well, you know, they lost a cow and stuff. He says that people hit him up on Venmo to get money back. And I know we've talked about this before, but he did bring up a really great point. He said, but they're never spending cash. They're never sending cash. It's funny, when you lose, they want their money back. But when they win money on like a parlay,
they don't tip.
No one ever sends me any money.
Yeah.
What a fascinating system that would be if, like, let's say you just started getting money. You're like, dude, I hit a $12,000 parlay because of you. Here is, I don't know, what, $500 or whatever you give them.
How have you ever had the opportunity, Kevin, at a blackjack table or a poker table to flip a tip to the dealer? Because I have, and it is the best feeling in the world to be like, here's a little for you too, by the way. It's awesome.
I have not.
I mean, like, I got all these winnings, and here's a little on the side. Now, I lost all that money by the end of the night.
Oh, no.
Not gambling. I spent it all in Vegas. But yeah, even still, it's a lot of fun.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. We'll be on time and power rank the NFL QBs next on The Fan.
Cook in motion. Allen in the pocket. Allen will run it himself. He pumps. Got some daylight. Hurdles to the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Here we go.
By the way, programming reminder, I know Boach is usually on about 12:20. He will be on at noon today as we get you ready for Rangers baseball right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, we power ranked the power rankings yesterday. Today, I wanted to quickly run you through the quarterback power rankings. Who do you think is the worst starting quarterback in all of the NFL?
This is tough because...
I bet Jared knows.
There are two of them that I think are equally terrible. Mm. I'll go with Daniel Jones first.
Who was your other guess?
Bryce Young.
They are 30 and 31.
Oh, there's a worse one?
Yes.
All right, give me a second here. Give me a second to think about the way this week went. They're not going to say Jacoby Brissett, are they?
No, they are going to say... Technically, right now, he would be the starter.
Oh.
Malik Willis.
Oh, that's
with
stupid.
The Green Bay Packers.
No, it's dumb. After after 1 week, who was the worst last week? Okay, I understand, though, now. I gotcha. Yeah, Malik Willis, look, he had an amazing throw in his pro day 2 years
Jared
ago.
Jared said eventually he's going to be really good.
I heard about that from Jared. He's.
I don't know if that came over mic or not. All right. Let's go to the...
So should I start Jaden Reed this week or no is the question.
That's what needs to be a study. How many people put a player who was on their bench and had a monster game in the starting lineup the next week only to see them disappoint? I don't know if there is a study out there about that. I wish I could answer your question. All right. Who is the best quarterback in all of the land? You don't have to overthink this.
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is number one. Who would you go with after Patrick Mahomes?
Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg.
No! It's not Steve DeBerg. And by the way, somebody asked, Sam Darnold, only 22nd. He was ranked 27. Now he's up to 22nd.
Yeah, I mean,
Kirk Cousins.
He played against a terrible team.
He
did. I'll go ahead and roll out Josh Allen.
Good decision, because that's the audio I played. Josh Allen is second.
Who's third?
What? Let's try that again. Who does the rest of the top five consist of? Got it.
Is Hurts in there?
He is not.
Interesting.
He is six.
I don't think Lamar belongs there, but I'll say Lamar Jackson.
Oh, Corey, going against his principles to be correct.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, number three on the list.
Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy, number five. So you only got one more. Could it be Dak? He just got paid all
Dak Prescott.
It is not Dak Prescott.
Okay, crap.
It is C.J. Stroud. So the top five like this. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud, Brock Purdy.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield is 16 on this list, up from number 21.
That's exactly where Baker Mayfield belongs.
Where do you think Dak Prescott belongs?
I would have him in the top. After this performance, because the performance wasn't great.
It was fine.
I'd say 10.
He is number 7 on the list. And this is the descriptor, which I think is probably a fair way to say it. The numbers weren't splashy against the Cleveland Browns, but they didn't need to be.
They didn't. No, you're right. He didn't have to win this game. There's going to be a time in the season that he's going to have to win a game a couple of different times. And that's where the faith doesn't lie for a lot of fans, is that he can do it. There are sometimes he can, sometimes he can't. But he didn't have to. This was a team win, a defense win more than anything else.
Now, Corey, I know you're not a lawyer, but I'm going to attempt.
I've watched a lot of suits
exactly.
lately.
I'm going to attempt to get your feedback on this. So the public defender, Robert Dunlap, for the person who shot Ricky Pearsall, allegedly. There was also a report came out that kid also took a gun to school within the last year. Now, his attorney says that report is false.
Okay.
But you remember, Ricky Pearsall got shot, and I believe he got shot in the chest. This is an actual thing the public defender actually said. Could it work? It was not attempted murder. It was rather an extended struggle between Mr. Pearsall and my client. They were really fighting back and forth on the sidewalk. As you might imagine, Mr. Pearsall got the best of it. I think the video supports this is an attempted robbery, not an attempted murder.
I agree.
Oh.
I think you could convince me if I'm on that jury.
Okay.
Because it started as a robbery and then turned into an attempted murder.
But kind of sounds no
like
attempt.
It turned into a shot. So I feel like
that's a tough.
I feel like murder, like a lot of times, I don't know. This is a tough one. I don't think it was an attempted murder.
Okay.
I will say, but it was definitely attempted robbery, and that deserves a punishment. And you shot the dude.
Yes.
Like you need the punishment of that too. I don't know exactly where that lies.
It is kind of a weird take. I know he's got to do his job, but he's like, hey, he was just trying to rob him, and then it went bad. That's why he shot him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different thing.
Now, should that guy have had his gun during his robbery? I mean, if you're a robber, I think that's part of the
committed a robbery. Yeah. One could make all
you couldn't
sorts
have,
of
you
arguments.
Couldn't have committed attempted murder if you didn't shoot him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to hold up either, but
is it the victim's fault if they resist and get shot? Good question.
Of a robbery?
What? Okay, Kevin.
No, right?
Guy pulls a gun on you.
Uh-huh.
And says, give me your wallet.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I understand your question.
I'm not, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not the man of steel.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say, all right, man, I guess. And as long as you're letting me go, okay. Like, I know that's a risk too. I'm not fighting that at the moment. Dude has the gun on me.
So this football talk and law speak is brought to you, of course, by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Really sure that
if you Rhino Shield your body, you're feeling pretty confident, huh?
If you Rhino Shield your home, I have to admit, I don't know what would happen if somebody took a shot at it. That's not what Rhino Shield is for.
Is Rhino Shield bulletproof?
Rhino Shield is for making your house look nice and getting a fancier version of paint, a stronger version of paint. I don't know if that means deflecting bullets. My guess would be probably not, but I should probably look into
Kevin,
that.
Internet says Rhino Shield is not bulletproof, but it is a durable exterior coating that can protect your home from many other threats.
Yes, but not guns.
What about missiles?
I don't think anyone has ever painted their house, maybe they have, and been like, how will this stand up against excessive gunfire? I don't know. Not a good thought. Let's go from that to the NFL in general. The NFL averaged 21 million viewers per game in the opening week. That is the most watched week one on record. So this is a great time to bring up 10 years ago when Mark Cuban said in 10 years, the NFL is going to be the fat pig that gets slaughtered. Here we are 10 years later. And the NFL is literally putting up the greatest ratings they've had in the history of their sport.
What'd they do differently than Mark Cuban like thought was happening?
Yeah.
He just thought, and honestly, Kevin, every bubble pops for somebody. You know, for most everything, the bubble bursts.
That's why Cuban had to sell the team.
Maybe. And like, that's the, when does it happen for the NFL? I don't know. I don't know that anybody could predict that. Because like you just pointed out, the popularity rose 12%.
It just felt like at the time, 10 years was a really, That was a short time to say they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, there was also a time when one of the former presidents predicted that a woman would be president. He said it would the next 4 to 8 years, and that was like 1978 or something. So it's been a while.
We're not going to hit that time frame, but it could it could still happen. Fun note from week one of the NFL season. There were three teams that came back to win over the weekend despite trailing by at least 14 points. The Bears over the Titans, the Bills over the Cardinals, and the Dolphins over the Jags. That's the first time in 45 years that three teams have made that kind of comeback in the opening week of the season.
That's impressive.
It is impressive, but perhaps...
Also shows you how preseason probably needs to be played.
That is a great point. But keep an eye out on the Bears. Now, the Bears, this is a really obscure stat, but I love it. The Bears became the third team in NFL history to overcome a 17-point deficit without recording an offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. That's crazy.
That was an impressive game to watch.
The last team to do so, the 2016 Chiefs.
What happened that year? What happened that year, Kevin? Tell them about it. What happened in 2016 for the Chiefs?
That year, the Kansas City Chiefs lost in the divisional playoffs.
Oh, so the Bears are going to lose in the divisional playoffs?
Or there's this. The team before them to do that, that was the 2006 Chicago Bears. And that team went to the Super Bowl.
Wow, that is a stat I did not expect.
Are you prepared for the Chicago Bears run to the Super Bowl?
If it happens... My fantasy team will benefit because I got Caleb Williams as my quarterback. So
hopefully he'll
be better than he was last week.
93 yards or
Kevin,
whatever.
Mike Bassick, who frequently joins our show, posted a post on Twitter, and it's a picture of the stadium in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And it says, my morning coffee and view. Go get Rangers.
Shut up. Does it say that?
Hashtag go get Rangers if that's what you want.
That's disappointing.
I think he wants us to tell Boach that.
Now, I have something that's going to make you upset.
Oh, no.
The NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
If it had been 71 yards, it would be...
Brandon Aubrey hit a 57-yarder. He clearly kicked a 66-yarder to tie the all-time record. But, you know, blame it on the officials, blame it on McCarthy, whatever. And he was denied the opportunity to kick the 71-yarder. Because of that, 49ers kicker Jake Moody, who made six field goals... has been named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Not DJ Dallas for having the first ever return in the dynamic kickoff era?
Nope.
It's dumb.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
I wonder that their bubble's going to burst soon.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, if you're curious, Saquon Barkley, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Coming up next, let's talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on your home of the Cowboys and the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.